Good. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, last week we spoke to you about taking a stand. In Hebrews it said that they subdued kingdoms. We talked about striving for righteousness. Amen. Securing the promises of God and stopping the mouth of the liar. Well, it says stop the mouth of the lion, but we spoke about the greatest weapon the enemy forms against us is lies. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, the Word of God says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, when you look at this word sober, it comes from the Greek word nepro, and that's spelled N-E-P-H-R, nepro. And this word means to abstain from wine, to be sober-minded, to be discreet. He says that to be vigilant means to be awake, okay? So we're aware of what the adversary is up to. So our text today is found in Luke 22, so go with me there for a moment. Amen. When you get to Luke 22, say amen. You know, we've been looking at Peter, how Peter was walking in the anointing of God, but we're just going to step back a few minutes to look at Peter as being an ordinary man before the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. He was just like you and I. Amen. He had his good sides. He had his bad sides. Amen. Verse 31 of Luke 22, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And Jesus said to him, I tell you thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." You know, and we find in verse 54 of Luke chapter 22 that Peter denied the Lord, denied knowing Jesus three times, and then the cock crowed. But I want to focus your attention to verses 31 and 32 today, where the Word of God says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, if you look at that word sift, it means deceive or to agitate. Has anybody in the house been agitated lately? Is there anybody here? Okay. And the Lord is speaking to Simon and saying, hey, Satan's going to agitate you. He's going to get on your nerves. He's going to try to upset your cart. Amen. But Jesus said, but. Look at the one next to you and say, but. He said, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Today I want to speak to you. The title of this morning's message is Swift to Sift. And we're going to look at first the challenge, then the change, and then the charge. Okay? The challenge, the change, and the charge. Can we just lift a word together and make a declaration in the house of God together? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do for this day. Now, Father, I pray that you speak through me today, Father God. May the words that are spoken from this mouth be words that bring clarity and understanding, Father God. May this body be edified, encouraged, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and the honor. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. So first he said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And that's the challenge that the Lord is speaking to each and every one of us through his word, is when the adversary comes to agitate you, that your faith does not fail, that your faith stands strong. So look with me in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. First, we're going to talk about faith to step in, to step into the promises of God. Now, many times that we're going through something, we're talking about agitation. Agitation comes in many different forms, okay? And you may have been waiting or are waiting on the Lord to bring something to pass in your life. Amen. And he says, hold on. Just as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, he said, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. In other words, he wants you to step in and stay in the game. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. You know, I say this over and over, but it's getting into our heart and our mind. He that's begun a good work is faithful to see it through. Amen. So each and every one of us by faith, we're stepping in. He was telling Peter, hey, Satan's going to come and agitate you. He's going to rock your world. He's going to try to turn your world upside down. I don't know if you've ever seen a sieve or as an agitator. I mean, there's a shaking that goes on. It shakes. If anybody's shaking wheat or sifting wheat, there's only thing that comes out is the powder of the wheat, right? So there's a shifting that goes on. I'm not a farmer, but I know that when you're blending something or you're sieving something, there's either shaking or movement that gets it to settle, right? To move, right? Huh? Just like a washing machine, all right? It's agitating. And God was telling Simon Peter, through Jesus, hey, that the adversary was going to bug him. That he was going to agitate him. Let me say this to you. Every move that God does, he works through a man or a woman. Who do you think Satan works through? The same ones, the same people, you know? And he was saying, hey, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. That thorn in Paul's flesh was something that just agitated him, that just got on his nerves. Anybody been agitated lately? Come on. In other words, God wants you to get a hold of this today, because we have authority over the agitator. The agitator isn't the individual. The agitator is Satan. He said, Satan is the one that's coming to try to agitate you. It may look like someone, it may seem like someone, but it's not the someone. It's Satan. He was saying, hey, you know those three people that came up and said to Peter, do you know Jesus? Who is it? I've seen you with him. Oh, I don't know him. Who was Satan using? He was working through people to agitate him, but it wasn't the person. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Come on. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle isn't with people. Jesus wanted Peter to know right off the bat who it was that's going to be agitating him. Amen? So turn with me and to Luke chapter 10. So he gives us faith to step in. He also gives us faith to step on. Amen? What is Jesus praying for? He's praying for our faith not to fail. How many know that we have an intercessor before the Father that's interceding for you and I? Amen. He's praying that our faith doesn't fail. He is telling, hey, by grace you can step in. By faith and by the grace of God, you can step on your adversary. You know, he says in Luke chapter 10, I'm in the wrong book. Luke chapter 10, verse number 19, familiar scripture. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen? So by grace, we can, by the grace of God, by faith, we can step in. We're in this together. We can step on. Amen? Amen? We step on the adversary. We don't step on one another. You know, I ain't going to come up and say, let me kick Satan out of you. You might kick me back. You know, what I have to say is, Satan, get out of me. Amen? And in other words, we're not wrestling with people. This isn't a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. And the problem is, if we try to put it in the physical, we'll never fight the true battle. We'll be beating up on one another, and the devil will just sit back laughing. He's just having a heyday, just laughing because it's funny. God wants you to know the devil wants to agitate you. Amen? And God's given you power to step into this race and run this race. And God's given you power to step on him. That can mean you can tread on scorpions and serpents. And no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You know, sometimes we just got to step on the head of Satan. Amen? Okay? Everybody with me? Everybody here? Amen? You know, sometimes we step in, sometimes we step on, but sometimes we step out. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 10:12 wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He says, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you were able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen? And sometimes we're in this battle, we step in. Sometimes we're stepping on the head, Satan's head. And sometimes God said, hey, man, you need to step out of this situation. Amen. In other words, he is saying, no weapon formed against you can prosper will prosper unless you allow it to prosper. God always gives us a way of escape. Amen. We don't always take the way of escape. Is anybody with me? Everybody here? You see, so he's saying, hey, the agitator, Satan, he's going to come. I prayed for you that your faith fails not. That's the challenge. That's the challenge that God's saying to you and I now. He's saying that, hey, he's praying for us, that we're to pray for one another, amen, that our faith doesn't fail, amen. That's the challenge, amen. I challenge you here today by the unction of the Holy Spirit to pray for one another, to lift one another up. You know, Peter had all kinds of head knowledge. Peter had been walking with Jesus for about 3.5 years. He had some head knowledge. And Jesus had made an interesting statement to him. He said, Peter, he says, I pray for you that your faith didn't fail. And when you change your heart, in other words, he says, and when you were converted. In other words, Peter had his mind all there, but his heart was in the wrong place. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? Peter was speaking out of his mind. Oh, I'd go everywhere with you. But if he had revelation and understanding, he knew what was going on. He knew that he truly wasn't trusting in Jesus. He was trusting in him. There was something that had to take place in Peter's life. He had to have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. And without an encounter with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be trusting in yourself and not in Christ. You're going to be trying to do it in your own strength and not his strength. His strength is made perfect in my weakness when I allow him through the power of God to work through me and to work through you. Amen? He says, I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail and that you would be, and when you were converted, look with me in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Verse number 3. You know what? This word converted comes from the Greek word epistrepho. It's spelled E-P-I-S-T-R-E-P-H-O, epistrepho. Epistrepho means to change, to change. When you're converted, there's a change. You change your thinking. You change your heart. You change your life. And how can I do this? Jesus said this in Matthew 18:3. He said, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted or change your mind and your heart and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself like a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, that means I have to submit to his authority. I have to submit myself to his word. I've got to humble myself and seek his face and turn from my wicked ways. Just as he says in the Chronicles when we pray. Amen. What God is saying to you and I, what he's saying to you and I, hey, we got to come to him with childlike faith. With childlike faith. Just trusting him at his word. Trusting that he'll do everything he said. You know, the same Peter that was going to deny Jesus is the same Peter when he was filled with the Holy Ghost after the day of Pentecost that's standing up and preaching. There's 3,000 people that's coming to the church in one day. It's the same man, but there's a difference. He had an encounter with the resurrected Lord, and he had an encounter with the Holy Ghost that transformed his heart, mind, his soul, and his spirit. You know, then he would say in Acts 3, verse number 19, he would preach and say, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, when I was praying here this morning, I was praying for a fresh wind of the Spirit to blow in here and take out some stale air and bring a refreshing atmosphere in the presence here today. God wants you to understand that when we gather together as a body and he has the praises of his people, he convicts you. We're not here to judge anybody, but the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. And when you feel that tug of your heart and God's moving upon your heart where that wind of refreshing is blowing on you from the presence of the Lord, just say, yes, Lord. Just say, yes, Lord. Stop fighting it. You keep fighting it. You keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. You got to just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but man, when we get together and the body of Christ gets into place and we start praising and worshiping God, his presence inhabits the atmosphere. Amen. It's just not here. It's in the atmosphere. And he quickens us and he moves upon our hearts and our lives. Amen. 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 In other words, what he's trying to do, he's trying to do what? He's trying to show us to change, to be converted. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. When that wind of the Spirit, he ain't coming in here to judge you. He is not coming in here to condemn you. He comes and moves in love. Amen. And let me tell you something. When the Lord shows me something that I need to release in my life, when he shows it to me, amen. It's something that's bringing me harm and it's bringing me danger. And he's my healer. He's my restorer. He's my renewer. He is the giver of life. So as he comes and brings us into the room, it's what we do with it. You know, it's what we do with it. He said, hey, Peter, when you're converted, when you change your mind, when you allow the Spirit of God to change your heart and your mind, amen. Then something else will take place. Look with me in James chapter 5. The writer James says in James 5:20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. Remember, God's not here to judge you or condemn you. He's here to love you. He loves you so much. Amen. And when he starts ministering to your heart, he reveals things to you. Always saying, hey, how many times you said, Lord, I wish I could do this or I could do that. Lord, I wish I could change. How about that? Anybody want to change something in their life? Does anybody want to change something in your life? Let me see your hands. Amen. And in other words, I can do all things through Christ that I couldn't do on my own. Amen. I mean, he just has so much love for us. His love and his mercy and his grace. He said, man, I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. That was the challenge. That when you're converted or when you change your heart or you change your mind, strengthen the brethren. In other words, you can't give anybody what you ain't got. Amen? Here I am, Lord. Amen? I'm not here to look at the sin that you have. I'm not here to judge any sin that anyone has. Amen? Every time I look in the mirror, I see something that's got to change in this vessel. This vessel hasn't arrived yet. Hallelujah. And I haven't got there. Once I got there, I won't be here any longer. Amen? We're going from glory to glory to glory. So I'm not looking at the sin of your glass. I'm not sitting here with a magnifying glass. He says, hey, why are you looking at the mote in your brother's eye? Pull the plank out of your own. In other words, when God's speaking to you, he's speaking to me too. Son, when you're converted, when you change, when you allow me to change this thing in your life, then you can help someone else. How can you help somebody when there's been a change? You have a testimony. Look what God has done. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. Amen. Amen? He's no respecter of persons. He loves us all so much. He says in Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said, Romans 14, verse number 19. He says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. When the apostle, when Jesus was talking to Peter about strengthening his brother, he's talking about building people up. Amen? He's here to build us up. Amen? The world's just opposite. The world wants to tear you down, but God wants to build you up. He wants to build you up. When the word goes forth, you know, when Paul was speaking and teaching on the gifts of the Spirit being active in the body, I want to take a break and have a commercial. In a couple weeks, we're going to start teaching on the gifts of the Spirit on Wednesday nights. And we're at the same time, we're practicing for the children for Easter. And I would like for you to come out. And if you can't stay for food and fellowship, you can be out of here by 7:30. 6:30 to 7:30, and your children will be home. Plenty of time for school. Amen? If you can't have late nights. But it's very important for the children, and it's very important for us, because God wants the gifts of the Spirit to be active in the body. And everyone has gifts. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you sure are gifted. Looking back to him and say, you sure are too. Amen? But he says that as the word goes forth, even as we preach the word, Paul said, when you prophesy, may it be for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. So it builds the hearers up. That encourages them. Amen? That it comforts those that are suffering. God isn't here to beat anybody up. Hello? Don't we get enough beaten up in the world? Amen? God isn't here to tear you down. He's here to build you up. Amen? Well, I thought it was good. There I go thinking again. Look at me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he's moving and operating, and God's doing so many wonderful things in his life, in his ministry. In verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians 10, he says, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord have given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." Amen. In other words, the word's here to build you up. When you gather together in this house, now let me tell you something. If you leave this place feeling bad, it's because the Holy Spirit was convicting you and you didn't respond to the Holy Spirit. God is here to encourage you. He is here to stand behind you and stand with you. He says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is always there. He's here to, you know, we're here to be an encourager for you. We're not here to tear you up or tear you down or to beat on you. Amen. We don't want to tell you how bad you are. I want to tell you how good God is. Amen. We serve a good, good, good God. I have some glad tidings of some good things to say. Amen. Amen. That, you know, there, as surely as there's a heaven and hell, we have not that pot, as long at that place yet. As long as there's breath, there's life. Amen. I believe this should be a happy place. Amen. I get happy. I was down here this morning. The Holy Ghost showed up. It was just happy time. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? Isn't it good to be in a place where you're loved and where you're encouraged? Amen. Amen. God wants you to know that he has great plans for you. And all of his plans for you is for good. There's another one that has plans for you. His is for evil. Amen. Let's not confuse the two. Amen. You know, he says in his word in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Amen? Amen. Just as Satan, Jesus said that Satan was coming to sift him as wheat, to agitate him, to mess him up. Jesus said, "I prayed for you." That the challenge was that his faith didn't fail. The change was to be converted. In other words, when the Holy Spirit moves on your heart, and an error in your life, surrender. I surrender.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to you and I through the preaching and teaching of his word? Hey, our challenge today is that our faith doesn't fail. But I think the most important part is the change. Will you allow God to change you? Amen. He's the change artist. We're not. Amen. He can change us. He, you know, all he's asking us to do is to release things to him. Amen. And the charge is when God does things for you, use it for the benefit of others also and not just for yourselves. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. Amen. When we're converted, that we strengthen one another. Would you bow your heads and let us pray? Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do. In the closing moments of the service, first, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus or One time you knew him, but you're not in the place you need to be. If that is you, would you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Would you lift your hand, please? I believe what today's message was about change. The Lord was speaking to Peter about when he was converted, when he changed his heart and he changed his mind. If you're here today and there's an area in your life that you want to just release to the Lord today, that you need a change in that area, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need change. Is that you? May I see your hands? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? See that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? I see that hand. 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 I see the hand. Pastor, I'm tired of the same old thing, man. I need a change in my life, and I'm going to trust the Lord today. Is that you? Would you just slip up your hand? I hear your voice. I see that hand. You may put it down. I see the hand. I see the hand. I see the hand. I believe it's for all of us. Can we all just stand here today? I'm not here to pick out anything that's in your life. That's between you and God. That's between you and God. So whatever the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about changing and releasing to Him, would you just slip up your hands with me right here as an act of surrender? Will you release it to Him today? Say, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but I believe that You can take this from me and that You can carry it and that You can deliver me, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Give Him your own words. Tell Him in your own words. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I thank You that You're the burden bearer, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that when You said on the cross of Calvary, it was finished, it was done, it was complete, it was paid for, it was complete. I thank You, Lord, for healing me. I thank You for delivering me. I thank You for setting me free. I thank You for lifting that addiction today. I thank You, Lord. I praise You, Lord. Just give Him thanks. Give Him praise and glory. Thank You, Lord, for being the glory and the lifter of our heads, Lord. Thank You that You're our burden bearer, that You took our sickness and disease on the cross of Calvary. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. God just wants you to know today, when the adversary comes in to agitate you, that you've been prayed for, that your faith fails not, that your mind is changed, and that you strengthen others in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we give God some praise and glory in the house? Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated one more moment. I'm going to baptize a lady.